Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
Hi, I'm Emma Desi and I host Turning Readers into Writers, a podcast for first-time novelists. Each week, I interview debut authors, editors, publishers, and even number one bestsellers who help you find the time and confidence to write your own first novel. Together, we'll keep you inspired, motivated, and educated on all things writing, editing, and publishing. So head on over to emmadesi.com, where you'll find everything you need to know to start and finish your novel. I'll see you there.
Hey, that was Emma Desi, one of my friends that does a podcast. If you are interested in going from a writer to becoming, if you're interested in going from being just a reader to becoming a writer, Emma is the one. Check her out. I have a list of hers and other podcasts on my website under recommendations. All right, as we get ready to do the final episode of this year, 2021, and moving into 2022, I have a second interview with Antoine Bandelay. He was one of the first ones, I think one of the first 10 or 15 people I interviewed. Very exciting. His fantasies are about something other than the typical European mythologies. And he also has some exciting news about possible movie based on one of his books. So I was excited to talk to Antoine. I would like to ask, again, if you are listening to these podcasts and you're enjoying them, please check out the books, the author's books. That's why they're doing this. They want to provide entertainment and they enjoy doing it. But without support, they stop doing it. And that's not what we want. Also, it would really help a lot if you would pass on to somebody else, hey, you might enjoy this, and have them listen to the podcast. Or go do a review, do a thumbs up. It would really help the podcast a whole lot. So here is Antoine. All right, Antoine, welcome back to Discovered Wordsmiths. It's good to talk to you again. How are you doing today?
I am doing well, particularly because last night my softball team and I won the championship at our little rec league.
Nice. Congrats. Very good. So that answers the next question. What are some of the things you're doing lately? winning softball.
Yeah, that's like my only outside activity right now. Everything else is publishing or YouTube related.
Okay. So let's, you know, dive into that. I want to hear some of the things you're doing because I think some other authors would be very interested. So when we talked, remind us what type of books you write.
I write fantasy books in particular, although right now I'm thinking about doing lit RPG. I'm actually having a conversation with a few lit RPG authors, one tonight and then hopefully another one within the week. But all of my fantasies are based on African or African diaspora myth and folklore.
Okay. So we talked last time that it's not the typical epic Tolkien fantasies, something different.
One series is expansive like that because I have two main series, one being T.J. Young and the Orishas, which is modern day. That one's more akin to Percy Jackson and Harry Potter. And then I have Essawan's story, which is more the expansive big world stuff. So that one's more A Song of Ice and Fire or Lord of the Rings.
Okay, so you're staying within the genre, but go into different interests within that genre. All right. And I remember you were the first author I spoke with on the podcast that had a store and was selling other merchandise. How is that going? And what have you been doing with that?
That only ever sees play usually during my launches, like when my newsletter is looking at it. But other than that, doesn't really do much of anything. And maybe occasionally I'll see like a few sales on there, okay. But not like a super lot.
Got it. Okay. So it's just another stream for you to use.
Right.
Okay. So update us here. What are some of the other things you've been doing? I know one thing you've been doing, but tell everybody else some of the fun, exciting things you've been doing with your writing and your career.
Just as a catch up, what was the last thing? Was it By Sea and Sky was the last thing we were talking about? The Sky Pirate stuff?
Yes. That was okay. What was new. Yeah.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, since then, book two of the Sky Pirate Chronicles came out in March earlier this year in 2021. And then book one of my young adult series, TJ Young and the Orishas, came out in June. And right now we're working on getting the next Esawan story out, which is another story, another novella, short novel that takes place in the Sky Pirate Chronicles. Like literally right now, like the author is going to turn in his draft to me because yes, as I write my own stuff, I also do work and collaborate with other authors when they write like the short stories or the novellas that are like attached to the world because I like expansive stuff like that. I'm also working on expanding out the TJ Young world, in which that's, like I said, it's like the Percy Jackson, Harry Potter thing. More Percy Jackson because it deals with mythology, teenagers interacting with the gods. So I have my own world, but I'm also collaborating with other authors who are creating their own mythos. Like my Celtic author right now, she's turning in her short story this week. And I have other authors, like I have another African-American author. There's a Norse author, Judaism author, Slavic, there's Japanese, two Mesoamerican authors. So it's a big expansive thing that's happening right now that I'm collaborating with a whole host of authors, which is really exciting to see how that world will expand out. We're trying to create our own MCU basically on that front.
Now that's exciting because I've had a few other authors with similar type of things. So how are you going to, what type of control and what are you doing to get these authors and how are you working with them to in your world?
We have an umbrella editor. His name is Callan Brown. He's worked with me for the last 7 years. And I asked him, hey, we're doing this author collaboration where we're having this shared universe, shared world with our different mythologies. And he was totally down to be in touch with everyone, essentially. And if you hear something from like one meeting, he'll say, oh, hey, that's a really good element you can add in your story because Antoine has a talking tree that you're dealing with right now that you could maybe feature in your story. So yeah, we have an overarching editor who's keeping like everything in line.
Okay. And what made you want to start working with other authors to expand the world?
I've been wanting to do this for a while. Like even when I started out around 2017, I wanted to make a summer camp. Now this story that I'm about to talk about was not a fantasy thing, but it was like just like a collaborative summer camp. If anyone's familiar with the Canadian show Degrassi, it was going to be like that, but like a regular summer camp, just like coming of age story, but that everyone would have their own character that they would follow throughout that summer. And then the stories would overlap, but that never really panned out. But I've always been interested in collaborative and shared universe writing. And now I finally found a path where that was possible.
Cool. So you're talking about, and we talked about this before, your stories are based in African mythology, and you were mentioning other people. Do you have issues? Because I know religion can be a very strong thing for people and their country's mythology and things like that. Do you have any issues when you're working with people from other backgrounds and other religious viewpoints?
Quite the opposite, actually. We find that there's way more similarity, and that's like the main thing that I want to got to get across with the series too, is that there's way more similarities between human people groups than there are differences. For instance, I have a deity in my faith system that his name is Shango, who is the god of thunder. And of course, everyone's familiar with the Norse god of thunder, who I don't even need to name because that's how popular he is. When we got to talking about it, they're different in their personalities, they're different in their origin points and stuff like that. But in terms of some of the things that they're meant to do, like being protectors, for instance, there's a lot of similarities. And that's happened several times in what we've been doing, even in the history with some of the what would be deemed pagan mythologies or pagan, how it seems like almost all of our faith systems have at some point been influenced by Catholicism or Christianity. And we all have similar stories about how that happened and how some of those mythologies got misconstrued in the modern zeitgeist. Like for instance, like the idea for Orishas, I can speak to the Orishas because that's like my mainstay. That's why I commission or work with other authors because they have their specific things that they look. But for me, like a lot of times Catholicism, when it mixed in with the Orisha faith system, they made some of those deities out to be good or evil or demonic in some way. But that sort of mentality, that sort of thinking didn't really exist and doesn't exist in that faith system. It's an amoral kind of faith system, very similar to how it's tied to nature, and that you don't really say that a crashing wave against a city is necessarily evil. It's just nature. And that's like how that system works. But then when it got mixed in with Catholicism in the more modern day, they started like equating certain deity systems like the Eshu, which is the trickster deity. Also, the gatekeeper gets misconstrued as a devil a lot of times when he's not a devil at all. And I've just noticed that sometimes, even with the Slavic author that I'm writing with now, like I remember I was like, oh, hey, isn't like Slavic based on a lot of duology or whatever? And he's like, no, that's more something that Christianity kind of inserted when they started meddling in with those sort of people groups. And then I have another situation like that with the Norse and like how some of the depictions of the Norse gods were muddled with because of Christianity and stuff like that. But yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot. That goes okay. with that.
So you mentioned, you said commissioning these. So are you paying the writers to write these and then they're your stories to sell? Or are you both selling it? Or how are you working that?
So it's a royalty split the way that works. So it's just a case of really the way I set up with my authors is you get out what you put in. And that's how I work with all the authors who work under my imprint. If someone wants to put in 80%, then I can do the rest of the 20%. And that's how much would happen on the back end. It's really just that simple.
Okay. And I take it you've been finding some authors that are excited about this.
For sure. I think, oh man, let me see if I can open up our like group chat right now, which of course my computer is like not doing. But I think it's like around, well, let me see. Two Mesoamerican authors, Judaism, Slavic, Japanese, Norse, and then we have so seven. I think there's seven right now.
Nice.
That we have.
Besides the working with other authors and expanding your universe, what else is going on?
Audiobooks are huge right now because I started up audiobooks maybe definitely last year in earnest because I had an author buddy who I was, another person I was collaborating with, one of those novella pieces I was doing. And this is a good way just to have more relationships with more authors and people for this very situation. We're like, oh, hey, I have a novella side story for one of my novels. Do you want to like help write that? So while I was doing the audiobook, because I produce my own audiobooks, not that I narrate them because I do not like narrating at all. It takes a long time to do that.
Right. Yeah. I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. I appreciate narrators for that purpose. But after I got done, he was like, whoa, who did your audiobooks? What is this? And I was like, oh, I did it on myself. You know, I had a friend because I used to work at Apple and I had him come over. And because if you work in Los Angeles, I live in Los Angeles, by the way, you're always going to have an actor friend or something like that, especially if you're working in some sort of retail space. And so he came and he did it. And then he was like, oh, this is awesome. He's like, do you do this as a commission like for other authors? I was like, I never really thought about that, but I guess I'll try. And so I did. And now I've been doing that for full time for 3 months now doing audiobooks for indie authors. And recently I've taken on a very big client, which is Macmillan Audio, which I've been working with for I think the past month and a half to 2 months. I've done three projects. Let me see. One, two, three, four, no, four projects with Macmillan Audio so far. So I even told him, like the author friend, I was like, hey, thank you for telling me to do that because I probably would have never done that. And now that I have a pretty huge client and I have a bunch of clients now who get audiobooks done through us.
Nice. That's pretty cool, man. It's an area you didn't anticipate, but
not
an area you've expanded. True entrepreneur spirit there.
Right.
Okay, so we were supposed to meet last week, but we couldn't because you had a different meeting.
Right.
Come on, fill me in on that one, man.
So the big thing that happened, yeah, because we were scheduled to go earlier, but then something came up because I have, for the past 2 months, been talking with a movie producer who was interested in attaching himself to some of my works. In particular, he was really interested in the TJ Young series, the young adult series, and my Sky Pirate Chronicles series. And so I was going back and forth like with my lawyer about the contract and like the agreement that he was going on about. But after we finally did, because I think that really did take 2 months to do all that stuff. Literally the week after officially signing with him and making him an attached producer. And what that means, by the way, for people who might not know, if you have an attachment agreement, essentially that's different from a straight up option. Because if you do an option, basically you're signing away your right to pitch it. But usually it comes with like some sort of payment over the course of like 12 to 18 months, which I had been speaking with someone else. So there was a West African company who was interested in commissioning or optioning my original works so that they could pitch it and adapt it. But there's another option you can do called an attachment agreement in which it's more collaborative in the sense that a producer comes in and says, hey, whatever project gets made, I will have first priority to be attached as a producer when that actually gets created. So you have a little bit more wiggle room, or at least more collaboration with the producer, versus it being like, oh, I'm just selling this off and they can pitch it or not pitch it, and we'll see what happens with you guys in 12 to 18 months. So that producer just got attached last week. And then right before the time that we were going to have our recording, he was like, hey, we need to make a meeting because I have three, now four, since even that meeting we had, executives who literally have the book in their possession. It's somewhere in their office. Their assistants and everything are like looking and reading at it, reading them. So it's a very good position to be, because the next step after this is when you get offers. Once, you know, the executive looks at it and goes, oh yeah, this is something that we definitely would want to buy. That I'm like literally one step away from having potentially an offer on an adaptation for two of my works, the Young Adult and the Sky Pirate one currently. And I can say that three of the four executives who are in talks are part of companies that if I name drop them, people would know them. Like, it wouldn't be like a, huh, what's that? I've never heard of that production company before, the thing. So right now I'm like maintaining my expectations a little bit, because it's not there yet. We're not at the finish line yet, but this is definitely a, like a super, super duper step forward in terms of my author career. Because when I was talking to the producer and he was telling me the potential like offerings that could happen, I was like, oh my God. And the thing is, most people will hear that and be like, I'm going to buy this and that. But for me, it's, oh my God, I actually can be a full-time writer and spend all my time actually writing if I could like have some of that happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it's super exciting right now, especially even some of the ideas that we were discussing like during our first meet. I remember, because I have a lot of art that's tied to my book. And so at one point when I was looking, looking at one of my books in particular, at the end of it, I have pictures. He's, oh my goodness, that person looks like so-and-so actor. And he like knows these people. So he can be like, oh yeah, I could talk to his and her manager. And like, I thought that was like, it was cool to see him get excited as like a producer, like in the same way. Cause really he was spending that meeting mostly for me to explain everything before he went out and did his like talking points and everything. So it was me like excitedly, you know, talking about my world building and like plot lines, storylines. I even told them like future plot lines, stuff like that, because I was like, are you okay with spoilers? She's like, yeah, I'm a producer. I hear spoilers all the time. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah, I know what the movie's going to be before it's made.
Yeah, exactly.
So how has all of this, because this is a lot of, you might say, side stuff. There's a lot of authors that say, oh, I wouldn't want to be involved in any of that. I just want to sit and write. Somebody wants to buy it, they could talk to my agent, they could talk to my lawyer, but you're right in the mix of all of this and you're controlling the stuff with your authors and all of that. So how has this affected your writing, and why do you choose to do this instead of letting somebody else handle it?
I find it interesting you mentioned that, because he basically is handling all of it. And that's something that we discussed specifically in the conversation. Cause I was like, hey, like this producer stuff and like movie stuff, like that's totally your lane, and I really have no desire to be part of that lane or whatever. I don't really like one conversation we had was about like writing like the screenplay and stuff like that. I was like, I'm not one of those who needs to be like in the writer's room or whatever. Like, once it's sold or there's the offer, like I trust I'll have a conversation with you, and then, you know, it's up to you as the producer to have that stuff happen, maybe in the way that whatever feedback I have, which is great so far. He's given me so much feedback for even when he's making these lookbooks for the pitches and stuff like that. But I don't want to be a part of it. Like, I told him specifically, like, my priority is these books. And during the meeting, like, I had all my books there. So I like slapped my books as I was saying it. It's like I was saying before, even like the offers that you were just telling me about, like what I see that as is just like opportunity to write more of these books, which I'll just give to you, and then you can do your movie magic or whatever. I have no desire of necessarily being a part of the production of these things, unless my series are done or something to that point. I don't want to get myself in the George R. R. Martin situation where you're prioritizing and executive producing something that's not even finished.
I've got two books done and we've made movies. I better think about a third. So looking ahead, because this is a lot happening, what are your plans now for the future? If you've got a movie possibly coming out, that you're working with all these authors, you've got your store and that, what are your plans now? Because obviously, if you've only got a book or two out, your plans are, I'm going to write more books. You're in a different situation.
I mean, that is the plan, is just to write more books, because through these books, that's how, and it's something that Joanna Pence speaks about a lot, another indie author out there, where she says, building up your backlist is so important, not so much just for the fact of just having those stories out, but because each time you put that out, that's a new IP. and that new IP can be, you can monetize that in several different ways. And sometimes authors don't think about that. They just think about, oh, ebook and print, but then you have audiobooks and then you have the adaptations of video games. You have a TV show, a comic book. There's that IP can funnel to so many different, or not funnel, but expand out to so many different avenues. And the basis of that is having the IP to begin with. So yeah, the goal doesn't change in that it's always about creating more stories.
Cool. With all these things going on, do you have anything you could share what your next new idea is going to be? Not telling us the idea or the story, but it's something, a little hint of the next thing you're going to be working on.
Right now, I'm working on book two of TJ Young and the Orishas, which is due out next June. I'm also working on that novella, short novel that is tied to the Sky Pirate Chronicles. That one's called Grace Under Fire. That one's about like a military campaign against a monastery that has like a great natural resource that the conquerors want to take over. It's very similar if you have watched Avatar The Last Airbender. It's if we actually saw the Fire Nation attacking the air temples. And then I need to get book three of the Sky Pirate Chronicles done to round out that trilogy. And as I've mentioned before, I'm right now thinking about dipping my toe into lit RPG. However, it seems like I might not, because when I preemptively spoke to one of my author friends about it, he's like, oh yeah, those are like really long books. And I thought the opposite. I thought they would have been really short books and very like action oriented, or just like highly paced. And he says, yeah, oh no, they definitely are like fast paced, but they can be up to 250,000 words. I was like, what? That's not, I don't have time for 250,000. I was looking for a thriller romance like length, like a 60,000, 70,000 word type thing. I was like, no, I don't have time to sit down and do a 250,000 word novel, but I'll see how that goes down.
Actually, I love that you said that. That's very interesting to me, because I know a lot of authors will hear something new or say, see the next shiny thing and jump over to it. Oh, I'm going to write lit RPG. Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going to do that. But you're able to make that distinction and pick and choose. Why do you think that is?
It's more for me just like completing the thing that you started. It's really important for me to actually have a trilogy done by having book three, The Sky Pirate, done. And then TJ is really important right now too, because that one has the most momentum. That's really the reason I've been getting like these calls from the producers. And that one just really resonated really well with people. And I maybe because it's just young adult too, it's like more said, I have to prioritize like that sort of thing. I can't like jump to the new just because it's shiny and new. But I thought that lit RPG would have been able to like slot in, and because I thought it'd be like a short form kind of thing, but apparently it's totally not a short form type of thing,
which is interesting. I thought it was shorter also,
and it might be, and that's the thing, that's just something I heard from one author, and that's why it's always good to get opinions from multiple, because I'll have the conversation with him tonight, and then I'll have another conversation with another one later in the week, and then I can see like by having more of these conversations what the overall sense of it is.
Okay. All right, Antoine, it's been really great catching up with you. You have so much going on. I remember the first time talking to you, I remembered how exciting it was hearing about the mythologies that weren't the standard in the fantasy realm. So I'm really glad that you're still here, you're still making stories, and it's getting better for you. So that makes me happy.
Oh, and that's the thing too, the getting better part. So true, obviously, right? The more books you write, the more earnings you have. But like each new book release, I see that like monthly thing go up. It only goes up for that month, or maybe like a month after. But it's so true when authors, and other indie authors say having a backlist is so important, because that's how you can expand your commission, or how you expand your income. Because if someone likes the one book, they're like, oh, what other things have this person written? Or is there more in the series? And they do actually go and buy those other things, so that each time you do a release, like it gets bigger and bigger. So like that's very important.
I was going to ask you, do you have any advice for other authors listening? And that sounds like it right there.
Yeah, 20 books at 50K is a legit thing. Like just write those 20 books.
I just saw some report, a survey that they did, and it backed that same type of thing up. They broke the authors up into stages, and stage one has typically this many books and sells this much and writes this long each week. But then stage two has tweet, you know, this many books and typically makes this much and writes this amount each week. So it was interesting to look at, because I'm an analytical guy. So it's easy to say, oh, if I'm at stage one and I want to be stage three, here's how many hours I need to write and how many books I need. And you know, it looks like plain and simple math, which I'm sure
a lot of creative authors are like, oh no, it's not that, blah, blah. But for me, I'm like, okay, I got my answer. Now I know what I need right there.
Right. I think that was Written Word Media that put out that survey. Yeah,
that was. Yeah, it was. All right. Antoine, thank you for taking some time today. I'm glad we finally got to meet up. We had a few back and forth because of our schedules.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. That's right. Even before it, like the meeting stuff. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate it. You have a really great day and I'll catch up with you sometime. I want to hear more about the movies.
Once they get out. Yeah, I know. I'm waiting for that too.
All right. You have a good day, sir. Thank you.
All right. You too. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe sometime in the near future, it might be you.